Hey everybody, before we get into the show, I do want to let you know that we have another live show coming up Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas in North Las Vegas. We are going to be talking about the vampire ballerina horror comedy Abigail. This movie looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And joining me to talk about it are my wife, Gina Mazzoni, film student Perry Markle, and filmmaker and Sin City Horror Club founder Nick Woods. It's going to be a great time, great conversation. There's an enter to win contest going on right now on my website, piecingpod.com. You can find a link in the show notes. Enter to win some tickets. And otherwise, tickets are available from Maya Cinemas. And I hope to see you there on Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and figure out what other movies inspired it. But today on the show, we're actually doing a Breaking It Apart, which is the side series where we look at an old movie and figure out what movies were inspired by it. And joining me today are two members of Las Vegas-based Black Camaro. You've heard Brian Garth on the show before, but now joining us also is Tom Miller. I was really glad to have these guys on. We just went and saw Wizard of Oz. Actually, Brian and I did. Tom went and saw it separately. But it's back in the theaters for the 80th anniversary. It's a movie that doesn't really need an introduction. It's such an absolute all-time classic, despite the fact that I may or may not have ever seen it before last week. I'm sure I did, but I can't remember. We get into that a little bit in the episode, as well as getting into all of the movies that have come since then that were inspired by The Wizard of Oz, and also talk about Black Camaro's new album, Protocol of Dreams. So it's a long conversation, so I'm just going to jump right into it, but I do want to remind you, you can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. You can join our Facebook group, Piecing It Together, a movie discussion group. And, of course, you can subscribe to the show on any of the major podcast apps out there. So, without any further ado, let's get into this conversation about The Wizard of Oz. All right, so today on the show, we're doing another Breaking It Apart, and we're not at my home studio today. We are at Digital Insight with two members of Black Camaro. We've had Brian Garth on the show before. We also got Tom Miller joining us.
Hi, Dave.
How you guys doing?
Hi, everyone.
What's up, Dave?
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Should be fun.
You guys have a new album coming out, or actually, by the time this goes up, it'll have just come out. And I wanted to find a way to get you back on the show so we can talk about it, you know?
Great.
Yeah.
Is that what the show is about today?
No, it's about The Wizard of Oz, but, you know, we gotta plug the album, too. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The album's about Wizard of Oz, too.
It is. I got to listen to it on vinyl, and I noticed a lot of Wizard of Oz themes on there.
Well, you played it in reverse, right?
Yes, of course.
If you play the album in reverse, starting at the moment Dorothy... No, it's not at the lion. Actually, we designed, that was the original dub. That's if you play it forward. But if you play the album in reverse and you start at the part where Dorothy gets hit in the head by the window.
Yeah, yeah.
It sort of lines up a little bit, kind of.
Just a little. Not fully. So Wizard of Oz just was back in theaters for its 80th anniversary. It was one of those Fathom Events things. We went and saw it, and... It was actually possibly my first time seeing it. I'm not really quite
You've
sure.
You've never seen, you have never seen Wizard of Oz. You're not sure if you've ever seen
it. I'm not sure. There's people that know me or listen to the show or whatever know that there's like so many of these classics that like I maybe saw, but it's so long ago.
You've seen Wizard of Oz? Yes.
I know, it's the Wizard of Oz.
You've seen like scenes here and there. Like,
you would
recognize this scene like, oh yeah, I've seen this.
That made it all the harder. That made it all the harder because I'm like watching these scenes. I'm like, I know this. And I know every single scene in this entire movie, but I don't remember if I've seen it from beginning to end.
My guess is you never attended a private daycare facility ever, right?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to think of reasons why, because when I was telling people, yeah, I'm going to go see it. Like right away, three people were like, I've never seen that. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. That's so I'm weird. Trying to think of reasons why nobody has ever seen Wizard of Oz. I figured it's one of those films that is just so embedded in American culture that it's difficult to have not seen by your late 30s, right? And I thought about when I saw it the most, obviously when I was a child, but where, daycare places.
Yeah.
You know, like all the daycares before or after school places or whatever, summer camp, shit like that, that I attended.
I feel like I might
probably
have
had to watch that movie
camp
100 times yeah. during that, you know? So now I'm on a quest. You're one of the people that told me that.
Yeah. What about Tom? Had you seen it?
I think my dad must have bought it like before my earliest memories, maybe.
Because
I think we had a VCR pretty early, and that must have been one of his first purchases. So like, yeah, like dozens, if not over 100 times.
There's just so much
movie, yeah.
Yeah, there's so much in it that's just so recognizable, whether it was from watching it or just seeing its influence on other movies and pop culture and everything. I mean, that's the thing that stood out to me the most while watching it, is just how many like little things and like tropes and, you know, whatever that you see in a million
filled
things.
With them.
Yeah. Just one after another. It? Yeah. Did they invent it? I mean, it's 80 years ago. I mean, it is pretty long.
Yeah, could you assume they did invent a lot of those, and we just don't know, you know, yeah. No expert.
I mean, it is a remake. There was a version before it, a black and white version in the 20s.
Yeah. But,
it's still
told
its own
a story,
thing.
But did it take all the, I feel like some of the tropes are built into the like the cinematic design, the way the director put it together, the editor put it together, the actors put it together, not so much the way Baum put it together, right? So I don't think it's so much the story that brings that up. Maybe in certain cases, you know, obviously we'll have some pieces, and that was a piece, honestly, if we're already getting into it.
Sure, why not? Let's let you do the first one.
Well, that wouldn't have been my first piece, but definitely it's a piece where I feel like this movie influenced so many other movies in its tropiness, like in the fact that there's just so many like cliches. One being, let's see what I found. The part where they fight guards off camera, and then 2 seconds later they appear wearing their gear, you know?
Yeah.
That, okay, so that right there, I feel like that right there, I was laughing so hard, and my mom kept looking at me because I was giggling, and she's like, what? It's not that bad. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm fucking loving this, right? I'm loving every moment of it. Every single time I would giggle, I couldn't help it. And that was one of them. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And it was pulled off so well. It's probably the best one ever.
Yeah.
Right. And it's great that you see that happen so often in film.
You've probably seen that happen like 60 times.
Yeah. Every cartoon.
Every cartoon, bunch of movies.
Yeah, that it's filled with those sorts of things.
Gank those uniforms and just pull in right at the tail of that line.
Right.
Line of guards.
Works but, every time.
So yeah, any I would say that my first puzzle piece is what are we calling the breaking apart pieces?
We're still calling them puzzle pieces. We're still trying to figure out how to specifically theme these breaking it apart episodes.
So then one of the pieces would definitely be how the way it was edited the way it was filmed it has influenced other films. You know, they borrow from the style of it and in its tropiness.
So it's like not specifically a movie, but like tropes in themselves. Like there's just so many of them, and
they weren't tropes.
Yeah.
They weren't these cliches.
They weren't when they made them.
After. Exactly. Yeah. When The Wizard of Oz came out, it was probably groundbreaking in all those areas. Right. And now, we've seen so many movies where they're like, oh, that part. And you know, they're even like ripping straight from it. Homage even where there's the Simpsons episode where the guards are doing the OEO, the witches guards, which I don't remember them wearing like Shogun outfits or what would you say their outfits are? Is that it's definitely of Asian influence, right? Maybe Japanese, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, possibly.
Anyway, they're doing the OEO song, OEO, and Jeez. I mean, Metallica fucking played that in one of their songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. One of their good songs.
Yeah. Also, you take them away to Never Never Land is, you know, that's taking you to Oz, right?
No, that's Peter Pan, yeah.
but wasn't Peter Pan
similar,
in
right? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know when that that was written. I truly don't. But
Wizard of Oz,
all these Disney-ish things, they all bleed into one another.
Well, yeah. I'm sure you could find in like a version of Peter Pan that has come out since a film version that has come out since Wizard of Oz, where they take that, you know, trope where there's an off-screen scuffle and then they come back wearing their gear.
Yeah.
You know, that seems to be more apparent in like 70s through 80s comedies. Yeah. You know, like I could see there's like a Dan Aykroyd movie or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
That where they do that, or a Chevy Chase film. Fletch.
Blazing Saddles. With that big line of criminals, and they jump the two KKK guys.
Okay, yeah, there you go. And just there you go. Now they're wearing their outfits. Right, absolutely. Yeah. There you go. Good it's call. Just, on
that is all over, man. That trope right there, man.
That's an interesting segue. Can I do one more?
Sure, go
okay,
for it.
Okay, I don't know where you guys are at on this. So that's an interesting segue, Blazing Saddles, because the one thing that stood out to me almost immediately, especially once everything went color, and they're in Munchkin Land, and obviously I'd seen the film so many times, I was anticipating that moment. I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait until it goes color and they're in Munchkin Land. I want to see what it looks like on this big fucking screen, you know? And right away, something about it screamed fucking Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder Wonka, yeah. You know? And I was like, okay, this is great. And then I think even the influence in Wonka is apparent with anytime the Oompa Loompas bust out.
Oh yeah.
It's like a whole Munchkin Land scene at least what, four times in the movie? Five times in the movie. So
no, I agree though. Willy Wonka definitely came to mind. I didn't write that down as one of mine, but like if I had gone further than five puzzle pieces, it probably would have been number six. It's so Willy Wonka and there's so much of that that's so similar with the Oompa Loompas and the songs and the like taking, you know, things from the real world and just like blowing them up into just kind of magical proportions and all that kind of stuff. Sure. With, like, you know, lots of trippy visuals and all that kind of stuff. It's there's so much that's similar there.
I did have Willy Wonka as well.
You did?
Yeah. And same thing, just the fantasy land created with the ultra bright greens and shit like that, dude.
So many colors. Yeah, it's wild.
And off that point, I do want to say both of those movies influenced mini golf courses too. Just that putting surface, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. Yeah.
That's a good point. Well, you know what? I'm going to go next with my puzzle piece. That's actually mini golf courses works really well as a transition to my next puzzle piece. Which is actually Disneyland.
Mario Golf?
Oh. Yeah, Disneyland.
Disneyland. Wow.
Itself.
Wow, that is a...
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
That.
Yeah,
and Disney
and Wizard of Oz. You would think it's a Disney property, but it wasn't at the time. He wanted it bad, but he couldn't get it, and he just did it anyway. Oh, he made Disney very Wizard of Oz-y, you know, and that just the overall landscape and everything. And I believe that they did eventually buy it, and it's like been a Disney thing recently.
Probably recently. I can see that.
I mean,
remember the early or mid '90s. When the MGM hotel reopened on a different part of the strip, the version that exists today, it opened up as a theme park, remember? And the theme park's characters, instead of being Disney characters or Looney Tunes characters, were the Wizard of Oz characters.
Right.
And the theme park was a Wizard of Oz theme park. And I don't know if it was because it was in Vegas or what, but it's interesting. You would think Disneyland, it influenced Disneyland. And then, you know, art imitating life, imitating art.
Yeah, yeah.
Disneyland influences the Wizard of Oz Land, whatever the hell it was called. MGM Grand Adventure Theme Park?
I remember that place was still there when I first moved here.
I don't know if that's what it was.
We did have a heavy Wizard of Oz presence in the valley.
Yeah.
At one point. You could go down and, I don't know, look at the original, like, Toto, just mummified.
Yeah, Toto's mummification was a little odd.
The taxidermy Toto was at the MGM Grand in the 90s.
Yeah, that's
Toto is a very impressive dog actor, by the way. You know,
I was so impressed by Toto. I couldn't believe it.
Dog actor and character. It's like,
man, we're just railing through him. Toto, man. After I saw that, the first thing that came to mind was, damn, that dog is amazing.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, more amazing than most dogs you've seen in films growing up as a kid, like 80s films, 90s films. More amazing than fucking Beethoven. More amazing than fucking Jerry Lee. More amazing than Hooch. All right.
Whoa.
Amazing than Hooch.
No.
Is that a controversial statement?
In your first three names you mentioned, you didn't mention Benji, you motherfucker.
No, that's what I was getting to. Tom, thank you for the interlude. Benji came to mind. I was like, holy shit, wait. That shit inspired Benji, okay. Hardcore. But both Benji and Benji the Hunted, those two movies, thinking back, you know, those were the animal movies I liked.
Benji was big time when I was
I liked Homeward Bound young. And shit, Michael J. Fox, fucking Rosie O'Donnell or whatever, whoever was in that. But like Benji and Benji the Hunted were the ones that I was like, I saw in the theater. It was like, whoa, especially Benji the Hunted. That shit was epic. Like you felt like, oh my God, the dog is taking so many risks right now. What the hell are you doing? Get off the log. You know, and that was how Toto was hopping up and down the fucking mountainside.
Oh yeah.
Right? I was like, holy shit, that dog is amazing. Just poof. You know, like, what the fuck? They didn't have it on a rope. You know, that dog just jumped, you know, like, all right, great. And succeeded. Though I did read that Toto fucked up, got injured on the set.
Oh,
well, there was a couple moments where they were like dancing and Toto almost got stepped on, and I was like,
Toto
really
did
nervous.
Get stepped on.
He did?
Yeah, that broke his foot, or her foot rather. Toto's a girl. The dog playing Toto, Terry, maybe?
Terry, that's right. You're absolutely right.
So she hurt her foot, injured her foot, and I'm not trying to assume Toto's gender, but I'm going by what the vet told me. That's it. I'm sorry, Terry. You're not here to rep yourself. I don't really know, but
80 years ago, I mean, Terry probably not here anymore. I mean,
No, Terry.
I did the math. Like I had to do the math on that. Hey, he's right. 80 years is a long time for a dog to live.
Yeah, 80 plus, however old.
Do you think Terry enjoyed that experience, that whole movie making? Like, he had a lot of attention. Attention seeking. Yeah, he was very hippity hoppity going down the road, you know?
Yeah, he seemed into it. I mean, I don't think you could train a dog to like do the actions, but
you guys are so convinced. You guys are so convinced that Terry and Toto is a boy dog. I'm wondering if that's because you yourselves have testicles.
Yeah, no. I assigned it he when I was,
and I was just
5 years old.
Toto is a boy. Toto is a boy.
Oh, Toto is a boy.
Toto is a boy. Okay. I think Judy Garland or Dorothy even refers to him as he. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but Terry, the dog playing Toto, is not a boy.
By the way, back to your point, is Benji the Hunted a puzzle piece?
Benji the Hunted and Benji are puzzle pieces.
Both of them
are my Benji.
I got to make sure
puzzle piece. Benji and Benji the Hunted are my puzzle piece that. I was thinking, oh my God, this is the most amazing dog I've ever seen on film ever in my entire life. And then I started running my mind through the dogs and thinking, yeah, better than that fucking thing, better than that dog, better than that piece of shit. Oh, and then Benji popped in my mind. I was like, holy fuck, definitely not better than Benji. Maybe as good as Benji.
Okay, so we're big Benji fans here.
Definitely not as good as Benji the Hunted Benji, which I'm sure was not the same fucking dog.
I can't discern any of the Benji movies. It's just an entity that I saw on TV and just went, oh, Benji. I didn't call it Benji Hunted.
Sure, you probably saw like Benji clips. Right, I want to say that
during the 80s,
there was all sorts of, there's heavy Benji clips going on.
I remember watching Benji as much as I remember watching Wizard of Oz. I don't know that I've ever actually watched
But you're
Benji.
Aware of
I probably
Benji.
Did. I'm aware of Benji.
Did you have an admiration for Benji?
I mean, I'm a dog guy.
I was going to say, as a dog lover, you should definitely sit down and revisit Benji. And be like, pretty impressed, like the way you were impressed watching Toto.
While we're talking about dogs, remember when the the lady comes and she's taking Toto away. Was there like a noticeable groan in the audience? Like, ooh, bitch. You know,
like, just like, ooh. Yeah, that was like straight up evil. Yeah. That was evil. That was like Thanos evil.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of kids at the showing I went to. And yeah, everyone was just kind of getting angry at this lady. So was I. Oh,
man. Yeah. How funny is it that without any evidence, this lady who owns half the town or whatever can just go to the sheriff and be like, this dog, okay, here's an order to take the dog. You know, you're like, wait, what the fuck? Who? What kind of government are they working in? What system is this, right? Where that's a thing, right? Where
she's the 1% in that situation.
Maybe that's how it was back then.
I'm thinking some nefarious shit went on like rural local governments, you know?
There's just like a darker version of this story out there that could probably be made where we get into those inner workings of that town.
Okay, what I read was there's a horror movie, Oz-based, coming this year or sometime in the next couple of years.
Like
licensed? Yeah, just look it up, man. I didn't really read about it. I was just like, oh, yeah, but... Well, I was like,
maybe that'll be the next episode.
Yeah, but horror, not like thriller, not suspense, not...
Well, horror is a loose term.
Okay.
Especially these days.
Not gore fest, but
I don't
probably.
Know. I mean, probably... I guarantee
it. Torture porn.
It'll scare the shit out of you.
I feel like everything unless I it's watch just now like, is gore fest.
Well, I feel like at this point, Tom, you've only done mini golf, right? So let's let you do a puzzle piece.
Okay, hold up. I got to log in.
Man. You got to also admit that in many ways, it influenced fucking Star Wars. And I don't mean to break open the Star Wars chest, but being a Disney film, we kind of discussed Disney. Obviously, it reminds you of Disneyland, Star Wars. Now, Star Wars is Disneyland.
Sure.
Fucking, for sure. Like, I see it in that as well. The big set pieces, but also kind of a hero's journey of discovery and you had it all along, right?
What's the new bad guy's name? He's basically Oz sitting up on a throne, like a projection.
Snoke.
Snoke. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
It's kind of like
kind
a projection.
Absolutely
of
a projection, which definitely became that had to have been the first time they did all of that projection stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not, but the first time they did it well enough to where you're like, wow.
Scooby-Doo did
that
it
is
a lot,
incredible.
Too. All right, you logged in over there, Tom.
I am logged in. I do have one right here.
All right.
Lick my nuts, B, just like all the other peasants will. Toby Mac's number one hit was fucking Pleasantville. Pleasantville.
Pleasantville? Oh, shit.
Pleasantville. It's got the color change. It's got the black and white to color.
Okay.
Which I can't think of many movies that do that, but that was some
it's pretty
state
hard
of the art
off,
shit back
that's
then.
That's for sure.
You know?
You can't just pull that off without it
you can't
seeming
pull it
like
off.
Gratuitous or like a rip. But they actually had a really good a really good point behind theirs, right?
Can I explain the Tobey Maguire rap?
I don't think you should, actually. I really don't think
that's
you should.
Because that's an inside joke.
just leave it alone.
Inside joke that happened very late.
Leave it alone.
Are you regretting it? Or?
I just thought, you know.
He didn't rehearse it, is what it is. And that's why he's regretting it. Not because it was bad, but just because he.
I didn't fuck you.
It was solid. He wrote it once and thought it sounded right. He was like, all right. You need
but
a,
you guys agree,
you
right?
Metronome?
Pleasantville.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I mean, occurred to me,
if,
but that's a
if
great
not
one.
Just that one thing that happens, that one effect.
And this was like right at the beginning of color. Is that right? Like, I'm not sure exactly.
You know, I didn't look any of that up, but I want to say I'm scanning my brain and think always having thought that as a kid, like found out at some point, you know,
I don't
in
think
the
it was
early internet age that's not.
Dude, imagine if that was the first color movie. Like, imagine you're going to the theater, you're seeing a black and white movie, and all of a sudden,
I think cartoons.
If that's the first one you
that.
Saw, I think there was some color stuff happening.
Yeah. Cartoons were in color before.
Sure, cartoons. But yeah, it must have blown people's minds back.
Yeah,
then.
For sure.
Freaking wild. But yeah, no, Pleasantville. That is a good observation of the, using that same transition for added effect and all that.
Yeah,
pretty sweet.
Wizard of Oz
really
was straight painted.
Yeah.
They painted that movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That movie was not.
What's your favorite color? What's your favorite Tobey Maguire movie?
One of my favorite Tobey Maguire movie?
Yeah.
Ooh. Cider House Rules. Okay. Excellent performance.
Yeah.
Excellent. Dave?
I don't know. I dig Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Part 3 where he goes to the disco.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, I haven't watched them since the theater, but I mean, I liked them back yeah, then. Yeah. You know.
I did have fun in there, you know.
Well, part that's a really good transition to my next puzzle piece.
We're nailing
actually.
These transitions.
Yeah. Who was in the part 3 though?
It was emo Spider-Man.
Wasn't he Spider-Man 3?
No, Tobey Maguire was, but the bad guy.
Oh,
Sandman.
What's his name?
No, it was the one everyone hated. It was the black Spider-Man outfit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
everyone
of course,
hated that
all the fanboys hated that.
Yeah.
And
but
then,
it's not that bad though. Like, I mean, from my memory.
But Venom, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Venom was what's his name from that 70s show?
Why is Venom played by two different sized men and one played Mad Max while the other Son of Red, man? Okay, should I explain why I just
just roll with it. Just roll with it.
Should I explain why I did that? Should I explain, go into the explanation behind that rap? I just, I don't, it was an inside thing.
No.
It was an inside joke. And I should say, I'm gonna cut in right now. There is no rap on our new album, Protocol of Dreams.
That's good.
Which was influenced by Wizard of Oz.
That's true.
Being a dream.
If not directly, indirectly.
Sure. A little bit directly. But yeah, my next puzzle piece. When Sam Raimi's Oz the Great and Powerful came out, which is a recent Oz sequel, which isn't very good. When that came out, I saw it. And
that's a
I
great
was
transition.
Getting the Raimi.
I see the transition.
Yeah, that was good.
Make the connection.
But I was shocked by how much it is basically just a kid-friendly version of Army of Darkness. It's like every story beat is beat, 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 everything that happens in Army of Darkness. And watching Wizard of Oz the other day, I realized, holy shit, it was there all along. Army of Darkness is...
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. Beat for beat.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
I mean, from the opening,
the house falling,
the house
and everything,
and the whirlwinds,
holy shit.
And the voices coming out.
I didn't
of the
even think about that. I wonder if there's probably some internetness about that.
There's got to be. Yeah, it's like, total Wizard of Oz. So Raimi is clearly just a Wizard of Oz freak, and he's just super into this whole world and everything. And yeah, I mean, the wise man is basically Oz, and he has to go on the things to get home.
Oh yeah,
and
I never had a gauge for this, but what's his age?
Or heroine in distress.
Like, how old was Sam Raimi when he was?
When
doing like Evil Dead one,
the first one, I would guess he was probably early 20, like maybe 21 or something, because they were really young.
He was a little older than Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, and Bruce Campbell
I read
was 18.
If Chins
I think.
Could Kill, and Campbell's book, If Chins Could Kill, it's basically the story of Evil Dead.
Yeah,
where he even includes like recipes for how to make gallons of fake blood, because
we could have used that.
They were like going to every hardware store around town trying to find all the corn syrup and all this shit that. And you know, it just goes into the whole story. But yeah, there were like college guys. And interesting enough, I worked with a DP who was like just a PA or something on Evil Dead and just wanted to do it for free. So this guy, Kurt Ralph, he's...
Name dropping.
Right. I don't know that's a name drop. No offense, Kurt, if you're listening.
It is a name, technically.
I put you in an uncomfortable situation.
Sure. I think you put Kurt Ralph in a more uncomfortable situation than Tom, so you should probably throw out an apology real quick. Go ahead.
Sorry, Kurt Ralph.
Sorry.
Kurt Ralph, that's a great name.
Kurt Ralph is a great name.
Sounds like an animator's name. Or
anyway, a comic. I was impressed. I was blown away when this dude told me he had worked on that. And I was like, holy shit, I kind of like... feel like I was there with you because I read the whole story of that. And like the way his stories go, it's like, yeah, that describes it exactly. So it's kind of interesting, but
it's
anyway.
Pretty awesome. One of the best movies ever, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I love all three of them. Two and three are the best ones.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Even the show, I would say 2 and 3 are better than the show. And I even like 1 better than the show personally. But
I think I like 1 better than, yeah,
they
probably.
They killed it. They took it way too far, in my opinion.
It's still pretty good, though. It gave me what I needed out of waiting 20 years for a sequel.
The first season man. Like I just don't need to see the continuing adventures of Ash.
Right. At a certain point, anyway.
As good as it was.
Yeah.
As cool as it was. As interesting as it was. It's just like the same old. I think it worked better as a trilogy, honestly. Or even like
two and three worked very well together.
Yeah.
You know, but I could see Wizard of Oz in all of them.
Going back to the Sam Raimi, the Oz and Powerful, to the cuts in Army of Darkness or whatever. Damn. One of those gentlemen.
That's all right. Take a hit. I was going to say something about the Enchanted Forest.
I was going to say all those directors probably as when they played movies back then, they just kept playing movies that people liked, you know? So like, I'm guessing Wizard of Oz probably stayed in like,
maybe at least got played once a month. In fact, constantly. We just saw it in the theaters. So like, it's been in the theaters for 80 years. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But
coming back,
which comes to the segue, directors just probably adoring that movie, getting to grow up with it from a very young age.
Yeah.
David Lynch, Wild at Heart. You guys seen this movie?
No.
I've never seen
Wild
at Heart.
They're blatant. They're blatant nods to Wizard of Oz, like Glinda the Good Witch flies down in the movie, you know?
Is Wild at Heart a fantasy like that?
It's like a crime action movie.
Who is that?
And there's witches. That's
David Lynch.
No, who's in that?
Nick Cage and Laura Dern. If you ever get a chance to watch it, you'll just see it. It's like, whoa.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, these are straight knots.
I like David Lynch. I like probably 75%.
And honestly, it was probably a bad decision to do that because the movie's fucking all over the place, man. It sucks. But he felt compelled, man. He felt compelled to give that movie a nod.
I'm sure Nicolas Cage loved doing that too, because he loves like going crazy in movies and probably loved that connection to all the weirdness that is Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah.
Do you guys think there's a connection somehow? There's one thing that I noticed, and it's probably just me and all the movies I've watched, but I couldn't pinpoint any one, but it reminded me of something and it stood out like a sore thumb. When Dorothy and the gang are walking through the poppies and Dorothy passes out and then the snow wakes her up. I mean, it's ridiculous to think snow, like why would snow, like what is magic snow, I guess. Right. Like magic snow wakes her up. It's magic cold. Poppies put her to sleep. Is there like some sort of drug connection there? Like a drug movie reference? Is that, you feel that? Like the poppies? I mean, come on, poppies puts her to sleep?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the poppy field puts her to sleep and the snow wakes her up.
Yeah.
And I said that to my mom, and this is what's interesting. I said that to my mother. This is her favorite film, by the way, her entire life, her favorite film. And right away she's like, oh, you mean like cocaine? And I was like, yeah, cocaine. That's exactly what I meant. It's weird that you know what I was talking about. But yeah, cocaine and heroin or opium, right? Yeah. And the opes puts you to sleep and the cokes wakes your ass up, man.
That makes a lot of sense.
For sure, man. So is that kind of a psychedelic theme? Not so much psychedelic because it's not psychedelics, but...
Sure.
Psychedelic films kind of use that, right?
Maybe a little Fear and Loathing.
Is there something in a Beatles movie or something? That's what occurred to me, but I don't, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the Johnny Depp film.
Sure.
Michio del Toro. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're just throwing everything they can at each other, like to keep each other alive, basically, at certain points. And so there's that snow cocaine, which, by the way, was asbestos. I listened to that in a little facts about the movie thing. Wow. Yeah, it was actual asbestos they used for the snow. They also used it in the lion's suit, which he got cancer from.
Oh, jeez.
Nice story.
Yeah, and the first Tin Man had aluminum poisoning from the paint on his face.
Yeah, this movie sounds like it was rough to make.
That's right. I did read that on the actor's page. Let's talk about the actors.
Sure.
Right? Because you got to admit, you didn't recognize a single one of the actors.
No.
Right? You don't, when you think back, I would say our generation anyway, people our age, when we think back, we don't think of the farmer guy's faces. We just think of Scarecrow.
Sure.
We just think of Tin Man. And we could probably picture all their faces clear in our minds as the characters, or as the, you know, Oz characters, not as the Kansas farm actors' faces, right?
Right.
So when you look at it, None of those guys look familiar. You probably couldn't tell me any of their fucking names.
Well, they were also all so much older than Dorothy. Like, they're like...
For sure, except for Scarecrow. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
That dude was probably like 20.
But they're like old actors in the 20s or whatever, or 30s when this came out. They were already old actors.
Yeah, there were people that were like, oh, probably on the circuit or something. Probably in vaudeville or something. Probably... Right. Probably
back when you had to.
Oh, dude, what were you saying when we came out of the theater? Right, we saw it together. Catskills comedy.
Oh yeah,
right. Catskills. Like they're all like old Catskills comics or something. And it is very much like that. It is very like what you see in Maisel,
right?
Whatever, or you know what you imagine. And Maisel, they kind of heavily ripped Dirty Dancing's Catskills, you know, theme,
right?
Which that whole film wasn't filmed in Catskills.
Vaudeville. That's like all those dudes, you know, like triple threat. You have to act, you have to sing, and you have to dance.
And you have to wear a black face.
Right, right. And those guys were everyone in that movie was like a great dancer. You
okay,
know?
Who did that inspire? I the first thing that came to mind when I see Scarecrow, just they're so animated. You know, and I call him Scarecrow. I'm referring to Scarecrow, but I mean the actor who played him as the farmer guy, you know, his hand gets hurt and all that, and the wagon in the beginning of the film. The first thing that came to mind is like Jerry Lewis, and then who he inspired, Jim Carrey, right? And then I think like this dude is fucking Jim Carrey, and he's doing it so much better than either him or Jerry Lewis, and it's great how good he is. You know right. what I mean? Think about, actually, they're all pretty damn good, but
yeah,
Scarecrow was the most impressive to me, you know? And, it reminded me a lot of how much I adored, Jim Carrey and how much my mom would have adored like Jerry Lewis.
Oh, totally. I was just looking up when the Three Stooges came out because it kind of reminds me of that too.
Probably around
yeah.
the same
time. Yeah, it is around the same time. 1922 is when they started.
But
yeah.
Before that.
Yeah, so it's even before that.
Maybe they were inspired by the Stooges, man. Sure. Which is crazy.
The Scarecrow did have the toughest job because he had to act like he had no bones every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had to be very...
Yeah, he had to like collapse. He just kept collapsing at parts and pulling himself back up.
That was a good performance.
Yeah, that was great.
It all was. That's the thing. Like even, I mean, shit, another puzzle piece, man. We'll bring it. I'm bringing it.
Do it.
The Tin Man, dude, what was the first thing that came to mind when he's rusted and he starts his dance and he's falling over.
Right.
But it's the lean, dude. It's the Moonwalker lean, man.
Yeah.
It's the Michael Jackson, what's that song called?
Smooth Criminal.
Smooth Criminal lean, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When the Tin Man is like, does this full, like straight leg,
yeah.
stiff bodied lean, and he leans over like 45 degrees and shit. That totally influenced, oddly enough, MJ, who was as a young man in The Wiz, a remake, like a Motown remake fucking Wizard of Oz, but maybe some 5 or 6 years later, he's doing the lean, the Tin Man lean as part of his dance routine, you know?
Yeah, totally. There's probably a few moves he bit.
Oh, I'm sure. A lot of that weirdness and magicalness and all that kind of stuff that, you know, was Michael Jackson's whole thing came from here.
Also, there's an episode of Perfect Strangers where they do that gag where they're on
skis.
They're on skis and they're stepping on each other's foot. Cousin Larry and Balky, and they're both doing the lean, and the crowd's go like the fake crowd's going crazy.
So I'm gonna put this to you guys because I feel like I know, like I'm a magician, and I know that's the trick. But what do you think the secret to the Tin Man lean, the MJ Tin Man lean,
like skis,
is?
Like just like attaching your boots to the ground somehow with the
attaching your boot to the ground, but you got to realize, dude's doing mid dance. The whole crew is mid dance,
right? They couldn't stop.
And then
put skis
right
on.
Then, boom, they lean. How the fuck did they pull that off? There's no skis on the ground, none of that. How did they
don't
do
know.
It?
I got to watch that cut again. I don't believe you.
What do you think?
Magnets?
Close.
Okay.
Apparently, at the MJ Mystique or MJ Cirque show, they use the same trick, and they had to like. Get the tech from them or whatever, get the secret and how they do it from them. And it is a hole in the bottom of their shoe and a pole that just comes up through the bottoms of their heels of their shoes into their shoe. Yes. Yeah.
So they step right on their mark.
So they fall right on a cue, right on a mark, and that fucking thing comes up. And I'm sure you have probably like maybe half a second or so to like wiggle your heel into the mark. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, it's in there, you know? But like as soon as you can't pull your foot forward, you know you can do the lean. And then obviously it takes a lot of body strength to pull the rest off. But yeah, it's a
when the tin man steps away, I looked at that spot. There's something there, but they did pretty good, man.
Like a ski?
No, like a dip.
Okay, for
the hooks.
So I didn't look, but that's great. So yeah. You did notice.
So you retroactively looked after hearing him give this explanation?
No. I looked at the theater.
At that point, I was giggling. That was probably, the Tin Man Lean was probably my 20th giggle session.
Yeah.
Like I was just so giddy the entire time. I couldn't believe how great every moment of it was.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Every moment of it was so good that when that part came, I was like, oh my God, that's, and you know, here, of course, there I am in the back row with my phone, like, oh shit, Jerry Lewis, fucking Michael Jackson, Tin Man Lean, you know, just typing into my phone, like, oh wow, that's great. That's a great, great note.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I will go on to another puzzle piece. My next one, and you kind of brought it up briefly earlier, Super Mario Brothers.
Oh.
Just the whole Mushroom Kingdom and all the weird...
Shit, especially Mario Brothers 2. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
Super Mario 2 is a dream. It's Mario's dream. That's why it's so different. It's not whatever Mario World is called.
Yeah.
Is it Mario World?
Yeah.
Might as well be. Which is... God damn, that's pretty arrogant. You know what I'm saying? Like, name the entire world after yourself. We should always be like, you know, fuck Mario. Fuck Mario because he named a world after himself.
I never and thought
he,
about like, that before.
Goes that's around just murdering the inhabitants of the world that he...
Well, they deserve it. He's a colonialist pig.
Mario's a colonialist fucking fascist pig.
Does he ever call it Mario World? Himself.
It's Mario World, probably. Yeah. Or if he doesn't refer to it that way, you know, like he's overheard Toad referring it to that way to like people that Toad is trying to tell the fuck off. You know, this is Mario World, bitch. And Mario doesn't say anything about it. You know, he doesn't correct Toad. Whoa. Mario World? Why not Mushroom Kingdom? Oh, it is the Mushroom
Kingdom. It is the Mushroom Kingdom, but the Mushroom Kingdom would exist in a world, right? It exists in a Mario world.
Fair.
Yeah. Mushroom Kingdom is in a
world.
The
world is inside a kingdom.
There's multiple kingdoms in the world.
I think the term is a human given, so we could peer into this world, which we were giving it the title of Super Mario World.
It's okay. True. That's fine.
That's a true statement.
How does it connect to you other than the colorful world and the
enchanted
characters and shit? Like,
yeah, I mean, it mainly is
the talk.
It is mainly both of those two things, but also the separation of it, where each like little area has its own set of inhabitants, and everything looks a little bit differently. Like each stage has its own
There's design. A Munchkin Land. There's a fucking
enchanted forest, and that goes over to many other video games too. But I just thought Super Mario is like the ultimate example of that.
Sure.
You know? Yeah,
that's good.
And I mean, there's also a lot of just like, you know, the magic stuff and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of flying on brooms and all that, or whatever the witch.
Do you think Wizard of Oz would have benefited from an underwater world scene?
I don't think they had the technology yet.
Underwater with fireball scene, that would be great, yeah. Right? Fireballs underwater.
Tanuki suit.
Yeah, be pretty good. But it's Toto in the suit. Toto in the what is it?
Yeah, the Tanuki suit.
Tanuki was the squirrel or the raccoon, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So what's an upside down tornado in the water called?
Whirlpool?
Yeah, see? Have one of those in the movie too.
Have a whirlpool.
Shit, that's good.
Have a whirlpool in it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Brilliant.
Why don't we go to Tom with his next puzzle piece?
Next puzzle piece. Labyrinth. Jim Henson.
Ooh.
Very good.
Jennifer Connelly.
Good one.
Yeah. she kind of gets in that world and has this ragtag crew of people that tag along. You know, I think this one's kind of obvious just from the
tag along. It's like you meet characters along the way.
Yeah,
and right. It goes as far back as
there's like, actually some sort of brick in the movie I haven't seen in a while. Brick Road. You know, there's bricks on the wall.
Another movie that I'm sure I saw, but it's been so long that I barely remember it. You know, just like Wizard of Oz. There's a lot of these classics I really need to go back and watch. Hopefully they do it in the theater.
Yeah, you got to quit watching all those new
modern
movies.
Classic or classic?
Both. If the word classic is involved, I probably haven't seen it in at least 20, 30 years. I don't remember it.
What about a classic star? Classic cheese. Is that a thing? Is that a sandwich?
Famous star.
When was the... Oh, it's a famous star. Isn't there a classic? Wendy's classic?
It might be.
You hungry, B?
No, I'm just thinking classic. When I hear that, it describes food.
Often. I think there's a Del Taco, something. There's a classic combo.
Yeah, of course there's a classic. Every fucking fast food place has a classic something. You know, classic.
Classic. Harkening back to a
it's classic.
Another time.
A classic time.
Well, what's your next puzzle piece then, Brian?
Well, let's see. I'm out of puzzle pieces. I feel like I got them all out. They all kind of relate to one another.
You were kind of bunching them together. Yeah,
for sure. But, you know, I they were all kind of connected. Like, I could have swore that the OEO was in a Star Wars movie or...
Well,
maybe Spaceballs.
That's
right?
A good setup. Yeah, Spaceballs my next puzzle piece. Okay. So we might as well go to it. But yeah, I was surprised. And you were just saying about the tagalongs in Labyrinth, and that is the kind of same thing where like they find the people, and each one comes along, and then of course there's direct parallels between Dot Matrix as the Tin Man and
sure,
and then
C-3PO even right yeah,
right
which
or
is,
or
it's
C-3PO.
A rip of C-3PO but for sure the Tin Man
yep and absolutely. Then what was it Barf was it the dog John Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's barf. just like the, I forgotten that it was Dot Matrix was the name of the female robot.
That's
and
great.
I laughed when I read that. That's a great
that's
joke.
Great. Dot. Is that Joan Rivers?
That is Joan Rivers.
But then also Yoda, when we're first introduced to him, is a big hologram thing again.
Yogurt?
Just like Oz. Or yeah, yogurt. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yogurt.
Yeah, for sure, man.
That was very Oz, that scene. You're right.
Yeah, there's so
that,
much Oz in that
that's
movie.
One of the ones where they took Wizard of Oz, the wizard.
And yeah.
Kind of, but he's even in that, it's a direct rip. It's intentional. Like, yeah. I'm the great and powerful yogurt.
Yeah.
Or something, right? Doesn't he have, it's like that. Like, he just takes the whole great and powerful and everything from it. Yeah, man. Is that it?
Dude,
what is it? The dink dinks or whatever? What are the
date dates? Date.
Are you sure it's date, not dink dink?
No, I thought it was date.
Dude, you're tripping, man.
No? Is it dink?
Well, whatever it is, I feel like they did the OEO song.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Maybe that's where it was.
Yeah.
I don't recall, but it's something like that where... It's just like all of my puzzle pieces just kind of connected.
Sure.
And which makes sense because all of these things are kind of influenced by that.
Well, I only got one more. How many more do you got over there, Tom?
I don't know. Maybe one.
All right. Why don't you go since I just went and then I'll do my last one. Forgot your password.
Keeps turning off his notes.
Can I get some water real quick?
Some of what water?
Out there. If you guys don't mind.
Drink some of that water. Can you have some of your water?
Sure. There you go.
Should we mention at this point that we have an album coming out?
Yeah.
Or it should be out. It's out, right? It's out now. When
is this? It's out now.
The day after.
It's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, Protocol of Dreams, Black Camaro's Protocol of Dreams.
So it came out last night?
Yeah. Then if today is the 15th and it came out yesterday, go get it. You can get it at blackcamaromusic.com.
It's a great album. I'm looking forward to it being on where I can listen all the time instead of just when I'm sitting in front of my record player, which the vinyl sounds fantastic.
Great.
But I'm only sitting in front of it once in a little while, so I'm going to listen to like 3 times now. But I do love it. Fucking great.
It was designed for vinyl, but works very well digitally.
Nice.
And, I mean, it'll be everywhere. Yeah. At blackcameramusic.com or all of your streaming, usual streaming services that we pay for.
Yeah. Some of them you can listen to this podcast on and then put make a little playlist with the album and the podcast. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Thanks, man. It's definitely a proper jammer, wouldn't you say? Proper jammer?
It's a proper jammer.
Yeah. Nice. I agree with that statement.
It's a proper jammer. It's also kind of a letdown. But no, not in a bad way. In a you want to feel let down, like when you watch a sad movie.
Yeah.
Kind of way. You know, like you're not let down like disappointment.
Right.
Sadness.
Uh-huh.
Darkness.
There's a melancholy to it.
It's melancholy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's deadly melon involved. There was a lot.
And Lassie was a collie.
There was a collie involved as well. Which brings me to my next puzzle piece. Have you guys heard of Benji? Lassie.
Benji the Hunted or Benji 1?
But Lassie was definitely...
It's a good question.
Lassie came to mind. Lassie came to mind. I don't give Lassie enough credit because I didn't watch Lassie. But I'm aware of Lassie.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't give Lassie any credit, but I can't imagine Lassie was worth the shit. You know, it's just a dog running around like barking.
Right, right.
Like
Timmy.
That was Lassie's greatest attribute was that she could bark when Timmy falls in a well.
Jesus.
What's the matter, Lassie?
Yeah, Lassie's too old for me. I never caught any of that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You. Like Lassie, you like skip
we caught
it.
Benji,
I don't need
yeah.
it. It's whatever. You,
Lassie's more of your parents' age dog, right?
Yeah.
Different era. So you find your next puzzle piece over there.
I did. Well, I wanted to come off Benji.
Okay.
And I said Benji to me, like I didn't know which Benji movie I was watching. I was just watching Benji.
Sure.
Which is also the same as Herbie the love bug, which is basically Toto, dude.
Herbie is Toto.
If Benji's
the star
Toto,
of the show?
Herbie's Toto. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, just kind of a
Herbie the love bug.
Interesting.
I have a phrase. I quote Herbie goes bananas. So
I know you do.
I quote Herbie goes bananas, and
Was it like Ocho?
It's like you look real good, Ocho.
You do. You quote that quite often.
You look real good, Ocho. And what's funny about that is Ocho. As a kid, I was like, oh, Ocho, whatever. It's a cool word, Ocho, especially coming out of the kid, you know, like yeah. It just sounds so super rad. You look real good, Ocho. And cool. Ocho is a rad word. And, you know, you learn then, you know, at the end of the film, they're like, why are you calling Herbie Ocho? If he's, what is he, 5 and 3? He's 53. Herbie is 53.
Yeah.
And they're like, but if Ocho means 8, why are you calling Herbie Ocho if he's 53? And the kid's like, 5 plus 3 is 8. Ocho. And it's like, what? It's a Sesame Street moment almost, you know? Like, holy shit.
It just taught you Ocho.
Yeah, it just taught you Ocho. The long
way. Oh, man. That was
a long way.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, to be honest.
Herbie Goes Bananas.
Yeah.
It's probably
there's like 3 Herbies, and they're all fine.
The old original Herbies, but there's, remember, you're forgetting the reboot.
It's like starring Herbie and like Buddy Hackett.
What I want to know is, okay. And look, all
Herbie
Herbies
detour.
Look alike. All Herbies look alike. Oh, let's be Herbie, honest. Let's yeah. be honest, dude. It's not just a stereotype. All Herbies look alike.
Sure.
Okay. But do you think Herbie is actually the real Herbie, or do you think it's Herbie's kid? It's hard to say.
All right, I'm going to pull us out of this. My next puzzle piece is movies like Stand By Me, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Just like dude adventures where you have a fucking destination and you have tag-alongs as well. Everyone needs something. Everyone's like kind of broken and needs something off this journey.
Sure.
It's fucking the Odyssey.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. The Odyssey.
Homer's Odyssey.
Yeah.
Which I was thinking of when we're talking about that, right? We're like meeting characters along the way. I was thinking it goes as far back as ancient Greece, man, at least. Homer's Odyssey, and then how Oh Brother, you just mentioned it. It's the same fucking thing. Oh Brother is the Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's a better one, honestly, but whatever.
I mean, they're all dudes. That's the main difference, you know, because...
I mean,
yeah.
And this
that's
is...
a big part of Wizard of Oz that she's a like a teenage girl, and you know,
yeah, with these older dudes that are along for the journey.
But is she supposed to be a teenage girl? I don't think so. I think Dorothy's
like
supposed,
in her 20s.
I think Dorothy's supposed to be like 10 or 9 or something, right? And they got every the whole stink in Hollywood was but isn't Garland a little old to be playing Dorothy, you know? And looking back at it, you're like, all right, she looks like a 16, 17 year old kid. And growing up hearing like, oh, isn't she a little old? It sounds weird, right? But you realize that Dorothy is supposed to be a really naive, like 9 or 10 year old girl that just gets whisped away into like.
To me, that book transcended any of the books about it. Just to me, because I don't have to.
Did you read Wicked?
Did I what?
Did you read Wicked?
The book Wicked?
Yeah, Wicked, the Ewok. The Ewok Adventure? No, Wicked.
I forgot Wicked was a thing. I completely forgot
Wicked.
About that. Yeah.
Wicked. Nobody brought it up, which is okay.
I watched Wicked,
that's fine. Sequels, anything. It's a prequel.
Was there a movie to Wicked?
Well, the Oz one with Franco and Mila Kunis is a prequel.
Right.
And it kind of shat on the idea of Wicked, which everybody, I don't know, I think maybe that's why it wasn't as successful or whatever, because Wicked was already a thing. It was a book.
Also,
that was a play,
and a play
that was really big.
It was a book that they turned into a play. And it's good where it's like, it's basically the Wicked Witch of the East as a young girl, like growing up being discriminated against.
Yeah, I completely forgot that thing existed, but that was a huge thing. That was really big. But before I go on to my last puzzle piece, I just want to make sure for the record, is Herbie the Love Bug actually a puzzle piece here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Why not?
Okay, cool. I've never seen it, so I don't really know much about it other than
Herbie's Toto. I like the Herbie is Toto.
I like it.
Idea. Okay.
Yeah, it's, if it works for you guys, it works for me.
Should we explore that?
Well, my last puzzle piece is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Another
similar to a lot of the other things we've been talking about here. It's just, you know, this world with all these like fantastical elements, the songs, the weird characters and all the magical shit,
right?
All that. there's a lot of fun parallels that can be drawn between the two. And just the whole world is really, you know, obviously with the darker tone and everything for the whole Halloween and everything, but there's still so much of that fantastical element, and the songs mostly reminded me a lot of the songs. There's a lot of like classic songs.
I could imagine Tim Burton being a Wizard of Oz fanboy, dude.
Oh yeah,
yeah, just like gushing.
How has he not done a Wizard of Oz yet? That's
seems like it's
too busy doing Dumbo.
Dumbo looks good. I don't care what anybody says. Man. I think it looks good.
It looks like it's gonna be.
I'm in.
Looks good.
I'm in.
Tim Burton.
Well, before we do our final thoughts, I'm going to read down the list of all the movies we just talked about.
Do it.
Yeah, let's do this. So we've got
a counter on it, B.
First of all, we've got movie tropes and cliches such as fighting the guards off camera and then appearing wearing all their clothes.
How about I'm melting too?
Oh yeah, and I'm melting.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the witch.
People steal that. Hardcore. Well, you know.
That witch became the style of witch for like 50 years.
She was a pretty major
broom,
witch.
Big hat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That probably goes back further than Wizard of Oz, though. And Wizard of Oz is just the most archetypal one you can conjure.
Green face.
Yeah. The bright green face, wart nose, big chin.
Yeah.
Black pointy hat, fucking black dress and a broom. That's all.
That's
a witch.
You
know, it's probably the easiest Halloween costume ever. You know what I mean? It's that, like the old standby.
That like, actress that. Played a great witch, dude.
She played an incredible witch.
Oh, yeah.
I like how she
even
was
in the
very
real
nuanced.
World.
I like how she was even a slightly more down to earth, slightly more human as the human character. She was still awful, you know? And then the transition where she's in the tornado riding her bike. And she's just like, eh. And then all of a sudden she's just like, yeah! She becomes corrupted in the tornado and is such a different, just a more harsh character.
I was surprised how many times she said my pretties. I figured it would be like one time. She says it like six times.
Nice. That's one. That's one of them, yeah. Right? The tropes. Sorry. That's an extension of the tropes. Sure. So that's still, we're on number one. Go to number two, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, your number two.
So yeah, going down the rest of the list. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Miniature Golf, Disneyland, Benji the Hunted, Star Wars, Pleasantville, Army of Darkness, Wild at Heart, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal, Super Mario Brothers, Labyrinth, Spaceballs, Herbie the Love Bug, Stand By Me, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
What a terrible fucking list. Holy shit. Who are we, guys? Who are we?
Some good stuff on this list.
There's a few good things on there, for sure. I approve.
I especially approve Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, Super Mario, man. Everyone here loves Super Mario. Nobody here can diss Mario.
Yeah. Spaceballs too. I'm one of my favorites. I love Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, yeah, sure,
absolutely rules.
It's one of those good ones. It's one of those ones where you're glad they never made a sequel to.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it might happen.
There's a homage in the movie Top Secret. Do you guys know it, with Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Oh man, when she's leaving, and she's saying goodbye to all their.
I love you too. I'll miss you the most, French guy with the hat. No, right?
She says, I'll miss you the most, Scarecrow. It's actually Scarecrow.
Oh, okay,
she
knows
Scarecrow.
Yeah. Right.
Blatant, but
I'll miss
awesome.
You most of all. Did you, when you were watching that in Wizard of Oz in the theater, and she says that, did it come off to you like, what the fuck? That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, just why? Like, oh my God, I'm going to miss you, and I'm going to miss you so much. And I'm going to miss you most
did
of
you,
all.
Did you? I read about
fuck
that.
Fuck those guys.
Wait, what? Line? They didn't have a line?
I read about that. No. They were going to, Dorothy was going to marry the guy who plays Scarecrow
in
the movie or whatever.
Oh, you know? And they chopped.
Yeah, like it was supposed to happen.
Old.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut anyway, up.
They chopped it anyway, so.
You're saying that's a thing you researched, so and you found out that in the original
they chopped
film
any
cut.
Romantic part of them to.
Oh, that would be bad. Yeah.
So
bad
they were news. Supposed to be.
That was a good call.
I remember
whoever made that decision.
Yeah, that was a really good call because I'm glad.
Then
that,
it wouldn't be a it'd be a forgotten classic. Like, I don't know, is this like?
Yeah,
what is this?
That is bizarre.
Is that a first cousin or something?
I wonder if that's in Frank L. Baum's original book, like in
whatever.
The story. I've never read the book.
I just thought he was a relative.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
Has anyone here ever read the book?
I certainly
no.
haven't read the book.
Never read any of them. I've read Wicked, actually. Which
we
was,
also didn't
okay.
mention Return to Oz. I think that needs more mention than the
Another
Sam Raimi
movie
one.
That I definitely have.
I feel like we did. We didn't have to talk about it.
We said it.
We mentioned it in sequels and prequels, but we, you know, that covers all sequels, all prequels.
Is
we
it did good?
Say The Wiz.
It's great. Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. I seen it when I was a kid, but I think
it's
it holds
a little
up.
Creepy.
Yeah. It's really
that's
creepy.
That's what I've heard. It's
creepier.
Like crazy creepy.
It's way creepier. It's supposed to be the actual sequel.
It was like 40
Not
years
like
later.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Pretty, it's like Fairuza Balk in the 80s or whatever, you know? And I want to say she was probably 3 or 4 years older than me.
Right.
And it was creepy.
That doesn't help us.
Well, I'm not
help the listeners.
This faceless person on
I'm
this
not
podcast.
Trying to get you to do math. What I'm saying is like, I could kind of relate to the character a little
I
bit.
I see what you're saying.
You know, because we weren't that far apart in age, you know? And
yeah, she was probably 10 and you were like.
In the 80s at some point.
Six.
What was that movie, 1986?
Yeah, I think
Dorothy
so.
Dorothy discovers she is back in the Land of Oz and finds the yellow brick road is now a pile of rubble and the Emerald City is in ruins. Discovering that the magical land is now under the control of an evil empire, she... We good?
Yeah, that's a classic if you're my age,
no,
around my age. Yeah, scary. Scared me as a kid.
So you guys have a new album out, huh?
We do.
We do.
Protocol of Dreams.
Came out last night. It's a decent.
Decent meaning there are no curses on it.
I do have a question for
it's
you guys.
It's a decent album.
And it comes home before the streetlights. Come on.
I do have a question for you guys. What makes you decide when it's time to make a new album? Like when it's time for these songs are an album? Like when do you decide that this is time for a new Black Mirror album?
That's a long process you're talking about.
It's a random question, I know.
When they're, when Wait. Like a theme peers.
Yeah.
When you haven't done anything in 3 years, about 2.5 years, you get about 2 years, you get the bug.
Like, this will do. Going. Listen, that's three not even true. Like, that's not even true, because if you think about it,
yeah.
Well, our last album was 2014. Mm-hmm. Did something after that though, didn't we?
The podcast.
Well, we definitely did a podcast, which was pretty fucked up. Okay, so yeah, then you have 2014 and whatever went down between then and maybe like 2016, where we, 2015 rather, where we decide, oh no, it was 2016, right? We started recording stuff, just random stuff, and like started, like I said, they just started to form a theme, and then it's interesting. You just get all these like demo versions of things, sure, that are, yeah, that to you sound like, oh, this is really a kind of a collection of songs that kind of go with each other or whatnot, right? And then our idea was originally, let's record these real fast, because we had done that before. We did that with the album before that. So let's just record these songs real fast. And as we do it, we'll just kind of give them away free, like the boot versions of them, the rough versions, the demos, interspersed with a kind of limited series podcast. Yeah. And the podcast, by the third one, I was just like, man, it's spending so much damn time. Which, by the way, Dave,
yeah,
you're on that fucking podcast.
I was, okay? Yeah.
For those of you listening, Dave is playing like, oh, how does Black Camaro work? And, you know, which is funny because, you know, dude has been, you were the host of Black Camaro Variety Show, the first one, the original. You were on the album Radio Capricorn, right?
Would you say, yeah, would you say he's BCOG?
BCOG, BC.
Do I get that status?
BC late early period. Like you're actually right at the cusp of the early and mid period.
Yeah, you're BCOG.
Right where Scott came in as our drummer, like 08, is when we did the variety show. And then, sure, you know, 09 was Radio Capricorn. And then, you know, revisiting that with, you know, which is radio themed, we kind of barred from that.
I like that it seems that you guys don't remember the name of the podcast. Am I right? Am I right in saying that?
Well, it's a four episode thing. So it's not like a recurring podcast.
Sure. Although
it did come out, you know, we tried to crank one out a month, leading up to the release, on January 20th, 2017.
Remembers everything but the name of the podcast.
So January 20th, 2017 was a red letter date in American history.
It's on the Bandcamp.
I don't think,
man,
we need to discuss exactly what podcast happened on that day for everyone to know. But the idea was to, yeah, follow this up with the release of another fucking, we, you know, piece this thing together in a 2 month period album.
Piecing it together.
Exactly.
I like it.
And that's where we conclude tonight's show.
I like it.
Anyway.
I think it's a good spot.
Since I'm the only one talking about it.
Hey, you know what? Since I'll just listen to it.
Fry your face off.
Obviously, our end of episode plug is the new album. Just tell them one last time where they can find it.
You can find Protocol of Dreams at blackcamaromusic.com. You can buy vinyl 12-inch. You can download 12 digital tracks. You can stream it from there or on any of your streaming services that you use.
What's the Instagram account?
I don't know our Instagram account, but fuck it. Black Camaro Music on Instagram.
Just Tom, look you got any last, it's confusing, any last thoughts here?
I just want to say, I thought it was really cool to finally see that movie on a big screen. Hell and yeah. I thought it was going to look even crisper, you know, because we're in the future now and you just expect that shit.
Yeah, they didn't really.
But it looks.
No.
It looks really good. It looks like candy, dude. It looks like.
I was disappointed it wasn't widescreen.
Yeah.
And looking that into that, discovered that not a lot of movies at that point were yet.
Yeah.
And that was, I was like, holy shit, what?
80 years on, man. It's still a cultural icon. And, you know, those are the things that are important to me.
Sure.
I like it. That's a good place to stop.
I don't give a fuck about cultural icons, but that one is.
I would just like to give a shout out, a thanks to, can we do a little commercial real quick?
Sure.
I'd like to give a shout out to Digital Insight Recording Studio on Maryland Parkway. 3,500 square foot, two room professional facility. Been in the Valley for 20 plus years, still alive and kicking. All of your recording needs from I'm sorry. I butchered that.
Zebra.
I butchered you nailed that, it, dude. You get it. Just look them up on the internet. Digital Insight. Go. They're on all over the fucking place. You know what I mean?
Thanks, Laser Lavin.
Yeah. You can go.
Proper, dude.
You can absolutely find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. You can find them on Google. Just Google Digital Insight Recording Studio. And
you can find them on Maryland Parkway.
That's right. They're on Maryland Parkway, but you might have a hard time. They're right across the street from Sam Ash.
You might make that the might second help. Right turn instead of the first right turn. And
sure. In the rain.
I'm parked one parking lot over.
It is raining out there, right?
Yeah.
So give yourself a break.
And right. it doesn't pick up in the studio because it's nice and soundproofed and everything. No rain.
No rain in here, but there's rain.
If I had
out
one
there.
If yes. I had one piece of advice, I would say get yourself out of the rain.
Get yourself out of the rain.
Todd from iHeartGeek. We believe that anything you're passionate about is geek. And if you are a geek, you are family here. We record once a week and would love to have you join in our conversations. You can get hold of us at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Use the .com, we paid extra for it. You can get us at Twitter at iHeartGeekshow. And you can always search us on our Facebook page as well. And keep on geeking on.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Black Camaro about the classic film, The Wizard of Oz. I'm still not sure if I watched it when I was a kid. I must have. But one thing I do want to point out is that Brian Garth was absolutely right. It's the dink dinks, not the date dates. I watched Spaceballs like 100 times when I was a kid, and I used to sing along all the time. I sang along date dates. I don't know. I don't know why I heard that, but whatever. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that episode. As always, if you want to find out about our future episodes and check in on some of our old episodes, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. We're doing 2 episodes a week all month in February. It's crazy February. This is the middle of the month, so we still got 8 more episodes left. So a lot of Piecing It Together coming up. So make sure you're subscribed. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. You can join our Facebook group, Piecing It Together, a movie discussion group. You can sign up for our mailing list over on piecingpod.com, which you're going to want to do because we got some cool giveaways coming, some contests to coincide with the 1-year anniversary of the show in March. So we got a lot planned. And with that said, I'm going to leave you guys, instead of with a piece of my music, with a full song from Black Camaro's new album, Protocol of Dreams. You heard little bits and pieces throughout the show, but now we're going to leave you with a full song. I feel like I'm being like a radio DJ right now, but we are going to leave you with When the Fun Stops from Protocol of Dreams.
A keynote, but I won a roulette. Then I lost all that money on a comeback. I lost my wallet, or at least what's inside. Listen, my brother, can you spare a dime and a dime and a dime and a dime and a dime? I lost on Indians, I lost on chiefs,
I lost on the Redskins on a safety. I lost on blackjack. I felt super sick. She gave me a queen and then a six. Never gonna die. Lost on the James Bond slot as a pie gal. I lost cause my judgment, it lost its appeal. But the one thing I did win isn't even real, real, real.
And all points west.